I want to turn to the 11th chapter of 1 Kings this morning. I'll read the first 8 verses. But King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, and Hittites, of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go into them, neither shall they come in unto you. For surely they, they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon clave unto these in love. And he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines. And his wives turned away his heart. For it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods. And his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. For Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Zidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. Excuse me. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and he went not fully after the Lord, as did David his father. Then Solomon built an high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, in the hill that is before Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abomination of the children of Ammon. And likewise did he for all his strange wives, which burned incense and sacrificed unto their gods. This is a real pathetic passage. And it's tragic. And it brought to his downfall a great man, the things that happened here. I was just getting to this passage, made a remark or two about it last Sunday. I have a little more to say along this line. Now, Solomon was blessed of God in a great way. Wisdom above all the other kings and all the other men of the earth. That's what he asked for, and that's what he got. And because he had asked for that, and not the life of his enemies, or not for riches, or different things that most men would ask for, God said, I'll give you wisdom beyond any other man. There's never been anybody that will be as wise as what I'll make you. And there never will be anybody else after you that will be as wise as what I'll make you. And beside this, I'll add all these other things as a bonus. And he blessed him wonderfully. We would wonder how that a man that had this kind of experience and this kind of blessings from God we would wonder just how his heart would ever be turned away from God. But it was. And women did it. And God had warned the children of Israel away back there in the 7th chapter of Deuteronomy that when they went into the land of Canaan, they were not to intermarry with the people that were there. And the reason he gave was just what happened to Solomon. They'll turn away your sons from me, from following after me. Now, Brother White brought something to my attention this morning that I hadn't known or considered, and he had discovered through some history study and reading that Solomon reached out and married women from all the different countries around him to avoid war. And that those countries wouldn't come in and make war with him because he had one of their daughters over there. But it worked out to a greater detriment maybe than what war would. You see, we can't appease God on one line by displeasing him on another. And God had said that this should not be done. And it was done. And they suffered the consequences of it. The real calamity was when Solomon built a high place for every one of these women's gods, and they burnt their offerings and did sacrifice and worship and service at these high places to their gods, and he joined in with them. God had said it'd be that way. And God's word is unerring. God's word is truth, and it's the whole truth. And its judgments are certain. And he said it would work out this way, and we just see it working out this way. Folks, let me tell you that everything God has said in his word is going to work out just like he said it. Brother Sammons told about a young couple that he counseled. And he counseled them contrary to what they wanted. And they told him, said, "Yes, but Brother Sammons, God's already made some special provisions for us. But it'll work out with them just like God said it would. And no one can escape the judgments pronounced in God's word for disobedience to him on any line. Whatever their purpose may have been in that, and surely we would have to give some credence at least to Solomon's purposes in this, to avoid war. And Solomon didn't have wars during his time. And he used this method to avoid war. But what God had said in regard to what he did, it worked out just exactly like God said it would. Now Solomon got caught up in the snare and apostatized from God through all these women from all these different heathen countries round about him, and brought in their gods and built high places for them. People that get caught up in these kind of things today, and people that are involved in these kind of marriages, the ultimate end of it is that they'll build a high place in their hearts for their spouse. And because they're involved in this and got a high place of love and respect built up in their hearts for their spouse, they can't see these things, and they'll begin to make excuses for what their spouse is doing and the way their spouse is behaving, and it won't look so bad to them. That's my bosom companion. I've got a high place in my heart here built up for them, and it just won't look so bad to them. I was thinking Friday and yesterday too about why God was so particular about marriage. Let us go back to the first marriage, Adam and Eve. God married them, and God made them. And He made them the one for the other, and He just made one woman for one man and one man for one woman, and that's the way He made it, and that's the way He started out. Now this is a prototype of marriage, and all marriages that are done in God's will and plan and order throughout the generations of mankind, they should be right after that pattern. And it was said concerning them, Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh." Now that's the standard that God set up, and that's the prototype of all marriages if they're done in God's will and order. But I noticed a text in the second chapter of Malachi, verse 15, he said, "Wherefore one?" God made these two one. "Wherefore one?" And it was one man for one woman and one woman for one man. That's God's plan for marriage. And the question is asked in this verse, wherefore one? The answer is that he might seek a godly seed. God arranged this in order to obtain and maintain an orderly society. When we depart from this, we can see the results of it in this world. Look all around us. You don't have to look far. Can you see the results of departing from this? God knew how everything would work and work right and to the best advantage of the human race, and He set it up that way, and everything should follow right on down that line. We're living in a mixed up world today. There's a lot of mixed up people in it. And there are multitudes of young people in the world today that have lost their bearings, lost their course.
Yes.
They're mixed up.
That's true.
But why are they? The mix-up came before their time. They've been raised in mixed-up homes.
Yes.
By mixed-up parents. And parents that have disregarded God's law and God's provisions, gone out on their own, entered into a marriage relationship that was incompatible, and they're messed up and mixed up. And the children that have come up in that influence, they're mixed up worse.
Yes.
And are just a follow up of what their parents were. Now, however we behave ourselves in our families, in our homes, however married spouses behave themselves, don't be a bit surprised if it bounces back in your face in your children. Will behave just like they've been conditioned. And what they've seen in their parents, it'll bounce right back at their parents. Bounce back in their faces. In their children. The next generation will be worse mixed up than this one is. They're on the skids. And they're going away from God. But it occurred to me that another prime reason that God was so particular about marriage, one thing I appreciated about Brother Clifford Wilson's messages when he was out here at the camp meeting a year or so ago. And that was that nearly all of them, if not all of them, nearly all of them anyway, he laid the foundation back in Genesis. That was the beginning of everything. It started right back there. It was fresh from the hand of God. And when God looked it all over, he said it was good. And Clifford just followed that on through and built up from there. Everything in nearly all of his messages went right back to Genesis for a beginning. It's a good place for us to go in respect to this also. And as I stated, another reason that I believe that God was so particular in laying this out, he had in mind, all right, an orderly society and the general welfare of the human race, but there was something beyond that. This relationship that we call marriage is a prototype of the relationship between Christ and his church. And he laid it out so if it come right on down the line, just like he laid it out, it'd be a perfect example of the relationship between Christ and his church. The church is the bride of Jesus Christ. He is the bridegroom. And if we get to mixing up all of this and saved folks marrying unsaved folks and saints in light marrying sectarians and other mixings that they do in these things, it's just going to represent to the world that kind of a relationship between Christ and His church. That's all mixed up too. But it's not that way. Christ isn't mixed up, it's us. It's the people that are mixed up, not Jesus, and He has no questionable relationship in His marriage with His church at all. But He wants this to be a pattern of it. Therefore, He was very particular about it. And in laying it out. And what if the devil has gained an advantage over humanity in this respect? Surely we'll have to recognize that he has. We're operating today on about a race, three to five ratio. Three divorces to every five marriages. And on the Focus on the Family program that originates down in Los Angeles, they say down in that area it's about 50-50. Winds up in divorce. The whole thing's contrary to God's law and to God's provision. But it just goes back to what Brother Eddie Wilson said when he was here. He said, people at some points in their lives sometimes do things that they just shouldn't have done. And that's probably more true in marriage than in anything else. People just do things they shouldn't have done. And when it's done, it can't be undone. It's an established thing. Saints marrying sinners. Saints in light marrying sectarians, people of other faiths. And different things that are incompatible. Those things just shouldn't have been done. We have an example of it right before our eyes, and I've seen lots of examples of it. One of our young sisters, she wasn't saved when she did this. She married out there in the world. The time came when she wanted to be saved, and she got saved. And when she got saved, she couldn't walk along with her spouse in things that he wanted her to do and things he wanted to do. That didn't please him. So he walked out on her and left her with three children to raise. Well, now the scripture says if a saved spouse, now this isn't talking about when they get married, it's talking about a situation that developed like I've just described, somebody got saved after they got married. But they have an unbelieving spouse, which doesn't want to be saved and live saved. But the scripture says if they be pleased to live with them, don't leave them. But if the unbelieving depart, if that's their will and their way, and that's their manner of solution to their problem, let them depart. A brother or sister is not to blame in such a case. If they suffer the things they suffer for Jesus' sake and for conscience' sake and so on, and their spouse isn't willing to go along with that, and they walk out on them and forsake them, the scripture says they're not to blame in such a case. But just as in Solomon's case, he solved his war problems by going out and marrying women from all these different countries around him. But that brought him to a greater problem. And there are mixed up marriages and things all around us and among us and down the line, people that aren't getting along like they should. But you can just trace it back. Somewhere back there they did something they shouldn't have done. They didn't seek God like they should have. And they didn't obtain counsel like they should have. In the 9th chapter of Ezra, the first 3 verses tells about a report that come to him that the Holy See to mingle themselves with the people of those lands. They'd taken strange wives among them too. And Ezra just rent his garments and plucked his hair and put on sackcloth and went in mourning in repentance before God, walking humbly before him, grieved, deeply grieved about this. I wonder if we get grieved like that when we see these things going on. Folks, they're just as wrong today as they were back there. And we should be deeply grieved in our hearts when we see these things going on. And humble our hearts and seek God. There's one good comfort and consolation that I have found in these kind of cases. If we find our marriage on the rocks, if we find it in deep trouble, if both parties involved will just earnestly, sincerely humble our hearts before God, and in submission to God and submission one to another, repent of having left him out of their plans, their programs, and seek him, he'll have mercy on them and help them, and they can salvage a marriage that's on the rocks and one that's in deep trouble. There's ways through God to accomplish this. Now in the 10th chapter, Ezra had so gotten all the people now stirred up about this, and taking these strange wives, joining themselves with the people of those lands, And he called a meeting of everybody that was involved in that kind of a thing and reiterated to them the evil of that, the wrong of doing that. And now you're going to have to put away these wives and children that's born of these wives. It's going to be a mix up as long as their children are among us. Folks, to violate God's word has a lot of potentials. In any way, and this, perhaps the greatest of all ways, in bringing mix-ups into our own homes and our own families and raising our children in an atmosphere like that. Now they put away theirs. Jesus changed that. And the instruction of the New Testament is, if they be pleased to dwell with you, don't leave them. But if they're not pleased to dwell with you and choose to depart, let them depart. You're not to blame in such a case. Nehemiah, in the 13th chapter of Nehemiah, they went ahead here in Ezra's case and put away all their strange wives and their children with them. And it gives quite a list down here at the close of this 10th chapter. And some of the priests and rulers and elders of the people were chief in this thing. They had gone along in it. They had to obey too. And in Nehemiah the 13th chapter, verse 26, Nehemiah referred to Solomon here and how outlandish women caused Solomon to sin. And in the 27th verse, he pronounced it a great evil. And on down in verse 23, he said, "In those days also saw I Jews that had married wives of Ashdod, of Ammon, and of Moab, and their children." Folks, here's the tragedy of it. "And their children spake half in the speech of Ashdod and could not speak in the Jews' language, but according to the language of each people." If two people of different religious faiths are joined together in marriage, and if their faith mean anything to them, they're going to stand by them. Just like you and I would stand by ours, they'll stand by theirs. And the children will grow right up in that, and they'll not be able to discern right from wrong. They'll grow up with a mixed up understanding in their minds of truth. They'll never have a clear understanding of truth. And sometimes they have grown up attending service at one time with the mother and at another time with the father in a different church. They don't go to the same church. I read about a little boy and his parents were in this category. And the mother went to one church and the father went to another church. But when they left their home, they'd go down on the streetcar to the terminal together. And there they separated. And one of them caught a car going out the way to their church, and the other one caught a car going out the way to their church. And sometimes a little boy would go with his mother and sometimes with his father. And the cars that they caught was, there were a few tracks between them. There was a distance there. And so this little boy was taking out after his daddy one Sunday morning, and it was his time to go with his daddy. And finally he just got out there and stopped in the middle and jumped up and down and screamed and hollered. And he says, "Daddy, Mama, why don't you two go to the same church so I can go with both of you?" He was growing up mixed up. And children that grow up in that kind of atmosphere seldom, if ever, get a good understanding of truth. God would save you and me all this kind of trouble if we would just permit Him to do so. If we would accept counsel from Him, in all our ways acknowledge Him, and He'll direct our paths, and allow Him the privilege to do this, He'd save us a lot of trouble. And you young folks, as I've mentioned before, we don't have very many. I wish this house was full of young folks and all you old folks had to stand up back in the vestibule back there. But it isn't that way. We don't have many, but we want to protect the ones we have. And I'll just say this to you again. I said it earlier on another Sunday, but I'll say it to you again now, that before you get clear out of the time of your youth, you're likely going to be married. And that's going to determine your course clear on through your life. And God would spare you from trouble down the line if you'd let Him. If you just submit to Him and seek His will and let Him guide you, He who knows the end from the beginning and the future from the past and knows how things will work out on down the line, He would save you from a lot of trouble and heartache that you're likely to run into if you take your own method in your own hands like Solomon did. He took it in his own hands to avoid war. And many people are taking the most important thing of their lives, second only to their salvation, and so closely associated with it and dependent upon it that it's a close second, their marriage, and just taking it in their own hands, and this is what I want, and go on their way. But God would save you out of that if He could. He's got the ways and means of saving you out of that and guiding you into a successful and fruitful life if you would just seek Him and give Him the opportunity to do so. And time's run out, so I'll run out too. Amen.